Minus three with a wind chill of minus nine.
Sexy double digits.
Hey,
hello. It's the Live 88.5 Startup, and the Live 88.5 Car Crasher is Jim Bray. He does audio auto reviews for the Live 88.5 Startup. We certainly appreciate that, and you can find links to those. And if you're looking to purchase a car or you want to find out more information on it, we suggest you go to live885.com. Click on the Startup engine there, and you'll find a link to all of Jim's fine work, and he's on the Startup this morning. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
I drove the Mazda CX-7 Turbo Edition. How does this one differ, the non-turbo?
Well, it doesn't quite have the horsepower of the turbo version, obviously, but... Yeah. They've actually changed the engine in it completely. The turbo version is a 2.3 liter, puts out like 240 horsepower, something like that.
Yeah.
And this new one with the non-turbo is a 2.5 liter, four-cylinder engine, double overhead cam, 16 valve, and it puts out about 170, 165 horsepower in that range. Kind of like Mazda saying, okay, we're tired of Zoom Zoom, let's just call ourselves Zoom.
Really?
Which isn't really fair, because, I mean, yes, it is a little bit acceleration challenged, but that said, I drove it around for a week around here, urban and rural driving, and while I really missed the turbo, I did not miss the gas mileage that the turbo got me,
yeah.
And I didn't have any trouble keeping up with traffic or passing people when I wanted to. Now, it comes with a 5-speed automatic transmission. I think they should offer a 5-speed manual in that case, or at least paddle shifters, which they don't. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you may lose one zoom, but that's really all you're losing. And you do get a good increase in gas mileage. As an example, I don't usually track my gas mileage because I gave up on that years ago. I've got a lead foot and, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
But the week before that, I had had the Toyota Highlander Hybrid, which is not really an apples-to-apples comparison because it's a little bigger. It's got three rows of seats and all that.
Yeah.
But anyway, at the end of my week in the Highlander, my average gas mileage was 10.3 liters per 100 kilometers. After my week in the CX-7 without the turbo, I got 10.2.
Oh, wow.
So my mileage was better than the Mazda. And when I had the Highlander, I mean, I tried to give it the plan. I drove it like you should drive a Highlander, you know.
Right,
you don't
right.
jam the gas to the floor and try to spin the wheels as you're heading off. Whereas with the CX-7, I drove it a lot more. I mean, I didn't drive it really, really hard.
Right.
But I drove it pretty normally. So I got better gas mileage than that. I mean, I love Mazdas, and this is a vehicle I would consider very much. I think if I was going to buy it, I would probably get the turbo anyway, because I like that extra oomph.
Yeah.
Although, again, you got the caveat, you're going to suck back a lot of gas.
One of the other options is the Mazda Advanced Keyless Entry and Start System. What is it, and is it worth the money?
It's like one of these ones where you come up and you put your hand on the door handle, and the door handle unlocks, the door unlocks automatically,
right.
And then you go in, and generally you'll find there's a push button on the dashboard to start or stop the car. Mazda does it kind of strange in some ways. Some of them have the push button, some of them don't. Some of them, what they've done is they've taken the keyhole, basically, out of the steering column and replaced it with a little thing that you twist just as if you're turning on the key, except you don't need the key.
Right. Mm.
And how does the car know you're you?
Well, there's a transmitter in the key fob.
Okay.
So yeah, it's the same as all these other systems. I love these systems. You can keep your key in your pocket.
Right.
The only time I really don't like them, and this is usually something you can either program right through the car or get the dealer to program for you, is that when you come up to it and the driver's door unlocks, only the driver's door unlocks. So in order to get the other doors to unlock, you have to open the door and press the lock.
Right.
Or bring the key fob out, which kind of defeats the purpose.
Right.
But again, that said, that is something that you can usually program or have programmed for you so that when you come up, all the four doors will open. And that said, too, there's an argument for only having the driver's door open.
Yeah, security.
If you're being stalked, for instance, you don't want all doors to open.
Exactly, so, absolutely.
It's just a personal preference thing.
It's our Live 88.5 Car Crasher, Jim Bray, on with the Live 88.5 Startup this morning. The other vehicle you checked out was the Acura MDX.
Mm-hmm. This is the one that I would have voted for.
Oh, yeah?
For the SUV of the year.
Okay.
Actually, I did vote for it at the Test Fest last fall. The Subaru Outback won, and I don't really have a problem with that. The Subaru Outback is a nice vehicle. I just like the MDX better. It's Acura's big SUV. I was talking about the RDX a little bit ago, and
right.
this is it's larger. It's more upmarket. It has three rows of seats, so you know you can carry people in the back row as long as they don't have any legs.
Yeah, that there's not too many that have a lot of legroom in the third row, is there?
No, and headroom is often a premium too. Now, I don't usually have a problem with headroom because I'm about 4 feet tall, but in this case, well, I didn't even get in the back seat of this one because I've been in the back seat of the MDX before, and it's not a happy experience.
Right.
It'd be great if you got kids. You know, you're a hockey mom wanting to take the kids out to the game. You can put up a third row of seats. Now, granted, when you do that, too, you lose a lot of storage space, so you don't have a lot of room for hockey equipment in it.
Yeah, I guess they're usually just it's a temporary situation when you need that third row seat for the most part anyway.
Well, that's right. Yeah, for emergency use only, they should label it that. You've got lots of room in the back. You know, and it's very comfortable. It's very luxurious. I mean, mine had, the one that I've been driving is, it has the Elite package, which makes me feel like I should have, you know, leather pads on my elbows and things like that. But 6-speed automatic transmission. Paddle shifters, I love paddle shifters. Yeah. You know, they give you more control than you do from the average automatic. Don't have to take your hands off the wheels. It's about 300 horsepower. Has a hard drive, you know, in the audio system, Bluetooth audio, rear seat entertainment system that is controlled from the front seat. So if you got the ankle biters in the back, you can slap on a DVD for them, but you have a separate player below the audio player on the center stack up front. So you control what's played, when it's played. You even control when the little LCD screen swings up and down from the back.
Ah, nice.
So, so once you've, you know, sedated the kids, then you can turn on the movie. But very nice vehicle. Nice to drive. A little big, but that's what this class of vehicle is all about. I would say it would compete with the likes of the Lincoln MKT, which, you know, we talked about, I don't know, a month or so ago.
Cool.
Yeah, on the other hand, it does have the super handling all-wheel drive, which is kind of nice. It's you know, it's basically a front-wheel drive vehicle, but it throws torque to the back wheels when you need them. And then when you're cornering, it throws extra torque to the outside rear wheel, which is kind of like you know, throwing out an anchor on the side and zipping you around the corner tighter.
Neat. That sounds pretty cool. It's it's our Live 885 Car Crasher, Jim Bray, on with the Live 885 startup this morning. You can find links to everything that Jim talks about through live885.com. Click on the startup engine. And a tip from you this morning, Jim.
Yeah, this is just a very simple, very quick tip. When you're in your car and you're starting up from a stop sign or a traffic light, you know, when the light turns green, you want to go. I don't know about everybody else, but my immediate thought is tromp on the gas and get going.
Right.
Don't do that. Before you start out, always look to the left. Then look to the right, then look straight ahead, and then look left again before you go. And the reason for that second left is that if you're going to get broadsided going in the intersection, chances are it's going to be coming from the left because that's where the oncoming traffic is. Of course, this would be the opposite if we're in England.
Right. Gotcha.
So, yeah, keep your eyes open and make sure that the road is clear before you go on. You can avoid a lot of T-bones that way or people left turning into you from, you know, the other side of the intersection.
Very good. Good defensive.
A little bit of common sense.
Yeah, a little defensive driving from Jim Bray, our Live 885 Car Crasher.
Usually I'm accused of offensive driving.
Thanks for your time this morning, Jim. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It's the Live 885 Startup, and you'll find reviews, audio reviews with Jim Bray. Go to the Live 885.
Audio reviews.
Yeah. Startup. It's live885.com. Click on the startup engine to find more of Jim's work. It's 819, Live 885 traffic now. Let's see how that's going. I'm Al Wahab.